Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. We're in the book of Acts. So if you find the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the next book is Acts. And we will be reading Acts chapters 15 and 16 today, taking devotional pauses, looking at some application at the end, and then closing in prayer. And I want to encourage you to do that right along with me. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the book of Acts, the historical transitional book that lets us know about the beginning of the church and all that was happening in those first days. Lord, help us to gain from it and to know how best to align our lives to you and our ministry to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 15. Certain people came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the believers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved." This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some other believers, to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders about this question. The church sent them on their way, and they traveled through Phoenicia and Samaria. They told how the Gentiles had been converted. This news made all the believers very glad. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them. Then some of the believers who had belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, "The Gentiles must be circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses." The apostles and elders met to consider this question. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them, "Brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips, the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them just as he did us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear?" So he's telling them this idea of circumcision, that you have to be circumcised to be saved. Even we as Israelites, Jewish people, have not been able to keep all of the circumcision or all of the law. Verse 11, "No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are." The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. When they finished, James spoke up. "Brothers," he said, "listen to me. Simon has described to us how God first intervened to choose a people for his name from the Gentiles. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it is written, 'After this I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild, and I will restore it, that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord who does these things, things known from long ago.' It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from the meat of strangled animals, and from blood. For the law of Moses had been preached in every city from the earliest times and is read in the synagogues on every Sabbath." Then the apostles and elders with the whole church decided to choose some of their own men and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They chose Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, men who were leaders among the believers. With them they sent the following letter: "The apostles and elders, your brothers, to the Gentile believers in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, greetings. We have heard that some went out from us without our authorization and disturbed you, troubling your minds by what they said. So we all agreed to choose some men and send them to you with our dear friends Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are sending Judas and Silas to confirm by word of mouth what we are writing. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements. You are to abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat of strangled idols, and from sexual immorality. You will do well to avoid these things." So the men were sent off and went down to Antioch, where they gathered the church together and delivered the letter. The people read it and were glad for its encouraging message. Judas and Silas, who themselves were prophets, said much to encourage and strengthen the believers. After spending some time there, they were sent off by the believers with the blessing of peace to return to those who had sent them. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, where they and many others taught and preached the word of the Lord. So the basic idea here is you have this council of Jerusalem to determine what is true and what is not. We got Gentiles coming to the Lord, but the Jewish people are saying, unless you're circumcised, you can't be saved. So they determine with this council that it's about the gospel. It's not about circumcision, and that God is bringing Gentiles into the family of God, but it doesn't mean they have to do all the ceremonial things the Jewish people do. But here are some godly issues that they brought up and included in their letter. Verse 36, sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul took Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So it's interesting. You have this disagreement between Paul and Barnabas, who are a great missionary team. Barnabas, known as the encourager, was trying to encourage John Mark. This is not the apostle John or Mark that we think of. This is someone different, but who had obviously blown it, had left the team. And Paul said, no second chances. There's no way we're bringing him. And Barnabas says, yes, we are. And they decide, then let's go our own ways. It's one of those difficult things that happens in ministry quite often. And yet we will see that God used it to further the gospel, and that later Paul realized that he was wrong, or at least he realized that John Mark did prove himself and eventually asked for him to return. All right, chapter 16. Excuse me, I'm going to sneeze. We'll see if the computer is able to take that out. Chapter 16. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. And yes, this is the Timothy we find out about later, who becomes a part of his team. And then Paul writes 1 and 2 Timothy to him. The believers at Lystra, verse 2, and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. So even though it was not meant for salvation, as a part of the ministry team, he was willing to be circumcised in order to have a better relationship with the people he was going to be with. So the churches were strengthened in faith. As he traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day we went on to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. So here's someone who is said to be a worshiper of God. And this happened a lot, especially with the Jewish people. That did not necessarily mean that they were a follower of Christ yet until they heard the gospel, received it, and then they showed their dedication and commitment by being baptized. Verse 16, when we were going to a place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. Isn't that interesting? She was saying truth about them, and yet it was a wrong spirit, And then we'll see the response here. Verse 19, when her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." So this is what happens when threats and persecutions come against Christians, is people are making stuff up. Verse 22, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they'd been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. That's because if they escape, they're going to kill him. Verse 28, not the prisoners, but the authorities. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in the house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, "Release those men." The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." But Paul said to the officers, "They beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now do they want to get rid of us quietly? No. Let them come themselves and escort us out." The officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came to appease them and escorted them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and sisters and encouraged them. Then they left. That's the end of Acts chapter 16 and the end of our reading for today. So what do you take away from this reading for application? I think for me, it's a reminder of what the gospel is and what the gospel isn't. The gospel is about Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection. For it is by grace, through faith, you are saved. And there's nothing else. There's no other works. Not circumcision. No other works. The works that come, the reason we live godly lives and get rid of sinful practices, is because of our salvation. Additionally, baptism, although in that day done immediately to show their commitment to Jesus Christ, was not a part of salvation. And we see that especially as Paul shared the gospel, he did not include baptism. But once they accepted the gospel and accepted Christ, then they were baptized. That's what I want to take away as just a helpful reminder, not only for me, but in my preaching, in my teaching, in my ministry, in my counseling, and with everyone else that I know, and in discipleship. It's about the gospel. And you can suffer and be willing to suffer for the gospel. And then baptism is a very important next step. What about you? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the book of Acts and the amazing way in which you work then and you still work today. And Lord, I thank you for that and pray that you will help me to have the faith, the courage, to stand up for what is truth, to not mix in other stuff to the gospel, and Father, to be strengthened by your Spirit to minister in a way you have called me to for your glory. May you be pleased. In Jesus' name, amen.